Of course, it's a very complicated invariant. Maybe simplest is a workshop on classification. So what is exactly this Kirchberg bivariant KK theory? So if you perceive the algebra A and X is some topological space that's non-Hausdorff, you might think of something like the spectrum of a C-star algebra. I would like to say that my C-star algebra A is something like a bundle of C-star algebra in space X. And what this actually means is that for any open subset in X, I have attached to that an ideal in my C-star algebra A. If you took, for instance, C for X, the primitive ideal space of A, then you would know what to do. If you have an open subset, they do correspond to ideals in A. And you want this correspondence to have the usual properties that you have in this particular context, like if you take a union of two sets, then it should be the sum. And a similar thing for intersections of ideals. And if the space X is infinite, then there is some further continuity properties that I won't specify here. Because I will mainly focus on the finite case, because that's already hard enough. So this is what is supposed to be a C-star algebra over a space X. So you have all these distinguished ideals, and it's clear what morphisms of such C-star algebra over X should be. They are star morphisms that preserve the additional ideals, so they map them to themselves. And there's also a version of KK theory that is defined in this context. And if you approach KK theory from universal properties, like in Joachim Kunz's approach or so, it's exactly the same as usual KK. So KK over X, well, it comes with a functor from the category of C-star algebras over X. And this functor is universal split exact C-star stable functor. You might add homotopy here if you want, because this functor is homotopy invariant, but this comes for free by some other deep theorem which you don't need here anyway. So you could say that this KKX is just the natural analog of KK in terms of universal properties, but also you can describe it rather explicitly, more concretely. If you have two such C-star algebras A and B, and you want to describe the corresponding KK group for the space X and AB, you do it by writing down Kasparov cycles, and then you have homotopy. And the cycles are cycles for KK AB without the X. What do you mean?
That you cannot take the cycles of the KK. You have to take the cycles of the EB. It is from the semi-over Kasparov. You have to take it. Because you have a lot of relations when you cast it out.
I was saying that the cycles, so I take. So cycles means the things before I take quotient. So they're just factor modules, additional structure, and so on. And then we have some.
If you divide it so in the groups, then cycles are automatically classified as elements of the group, and it's own classification.
There's something more coming here, so there are cycles for KTAB that are compatible. With the ideas, and this means that we send to various quotients. Well, we can discuss this afterwards. I think that maybe I'm mistaken, but I think that's exactly what you get in this context. So, in particular, what you would certainly want is that there's something that I've told you before. If you have these distinct ideas for open subsets, you can also form various subquotients, because if you have then you get B U. Then you can form this subquotient here for the differences to open subsets, and conditions on unions and intersections up here ensure that this is independent of the choice of V and U here, so this is well defined. You can write one subset like this in different ways, maybe. This is always well defined under these gluing conditions. And you can also say which sets appear in this form. They are sometimes called locally closed. So they are subsets that are intersection of an open and a closed subset. And if you have a Kasparov cycle that's supposed to be compatible with the ideas, it means that it descends. So to Kasparov cycles for all these subquotients. So that's been the ideas we have about these KK groups. They consist of cycles for the KK group for A and B that have additional structure that allows to descend to all these subquotients and study what happens locally there. Okay, and in the classification program, this appears when you want to classify non-simple C-star algebras, because there you have to combine, well, you want to do K-theory and you also have to look at the spectrum at the same time. So, so if you have a non-simple C-star, you have some crude ideal space, call it X, you fix this X, and you classify them using these Kasparov groups over X. I think Cornel Pasnico mentioned something like this in his first talk with the Rat of Kirchberg that tells you that suitable C-star algebras like sufficiently plane-infinite and so on, when they're isomorphic in this KK category, they're isomorphic as C-star algebras. And to apply this, you would like to compute these KK groups now in terms of some simple invariants. And so the issue is to find some generalized universal coefficient theorem for these KK groups. So okay, so you probably eventually want to do this for all spaces X. There are some conditions you can impose on X, because you only want to look at spaces that are the primitive ideas that have some C-star algebra, that imposes some conditions, but they don't help you very much for the purpose of computing these things here. Actually, the very first thing I would do in this context is to replace an infinite space X by some finite space. This is actually, so I discussed this with Marius Dadelat earlier this week. That's why I briefly talk about this, although I haven't really finished these things, so that's just an idea of what should happen. So some things I expect to work in this context. So you can approximate an infinite space X by finite non-Hausdorff spaces. Using open coverings, the idea is that if you have X, you have it covered by these UI. F is now some finite set of open subsets. Then you can look at the power set of F, taking away the empty set. And this is your finite space Y, maybe. And you map X to the space by sending a point little x to the set of all I such that X is in UI. Okay. This will be a map from your space X to some finite set Y. And this Y is, by definition, a partially ordered set.
What is that?
F is the set of open subsets I have chosen here. So I have a covering. It's indexed by some finite set. I could take here 1 up to n if I wanted to. Although I could also take something infinite here if I wanted to, but I don't want at the moment. So this Y is a poset. And you can use this partial order to define a topology on the set Y. And you can define this topology so that this map from X to Y becomes continuous. Now I have to figure out exactly what order it is. So there are two possibilities for this topology. I want to say the subset of Y is open. And there are two choices for this. I want that for all X in U and for all Y less than X or bigger than X. I don't know exactly. I have to figure out when I write down what happens. So Y should also be in U. So this would be one way to define a topology given this partial order. So your open subsets will be subsets that are kind of, if you draw your poset set, maybe I should do an example of this so that you can see something more clearly. So you could look at the interval from 0 to 1, okay, and you could choose some nice covering, like you have this might be U0, then you have U1 in the middle, and then there's some U2 to the right. And in this case, your poset has there's 0, there's a subset 0, 1, there's 1, and there's 1, 2, and there's just 2. And if you look at this definition, you see that this interval here goes to 0, 1, this goes to 0, this goes to 1. And at the boundary points, so this is an open thing, so the preimage of 0, 1 is open. So I think I did exactly the wrong way around. I think I wanted to this way, because you see the perimeter of 0, 1 is open, so this is equal to U1 intersected U0, and the pre-image of 0 is open because it's equal to just U0. No, this is not open. This is U0 taking away U01. So this is not open, therefore I have to get something open, I have to add this 01 to it. So the pre-image of 0 and 01, this set with two elements, would be U0. And this is again open. Okay. So you see in the simple example that you can guess from this example that if you define a topology like this correctly, then the map that you have that is observed will be continuous, and it will approximate your space X by this finite set. And what happens now if you have a sieved algebra of the interval, so this would be some kind of maybe continuous field of sieved algebras on an interval, and what you can do is you can kind of push it forward, so the map F from X to Y induces a functor from sieved algebras over X to sieved algebras over Y. So if you are given a sieved algebra over Y, and over X, you want to push it forward, you have to specify what is F lower star of A on U, where U is, say, open in Y. And this is supposed to be A at F inverse of U. The obvious thing you can write down. And since this F inverse operation is nice, it's a lattice isomorphism or something like that, it preserves all these conditions you would have to impose, and that really defines for you a C star over Y as it should be. Okay? And so if you can, you push forward your sieved algebra, and then you can look at this KK group like this, and you find that there's an obvious map from the group you would like to compute, which has X in there, to these approximations. Because if you if you take this approach here, that the cycles for these groups are just ordinary Kasparov cycles with some additional properties, here you have additional properties for all open subsets of X, and here you have them only for these subsets from UI. So here you have fewer conditions, so it's some kind of forgetful map, because you impose fewer restrictions on your Kasparov cycles. And what you see also is that if you now choose finer and finer coverings, so that you choose a sequence of them, so that you, so that the open subsets you have chosen for all of them together will form a basis for the topology, then in the limit you have all conditions you need, and this tells you that the space of Kasparov cycles for X will be the kind of the intersection of all the Kasparov cycles for these groups in this limit system. And this tells you that for a sequence of coverings I and Fn that generates the topology of X, yes, I want to have finer and finer coverings, so they should define each other. So this means that I have all these approximations. So I have my X here, and I have these maps to Yn, Yn minus 1, and so on. so I have some sequence of approximations to X, and what I find is that if I take the inverse limit of these YM spaces, it should be X, I think.
No, it's a kind of E, because on one side you have a projective limit of entirely disconnected T0 spaces.
Okay, this is not true, okay. But what should be okay is that if I take the inverse limit of the KK groups, that's not true. I should take something like maybe this E space here. So these are supposed to be the cycles for KK on both sides. So the idea is that it's a cycle for if you take this inverse limit, it means you have a cycle for KKAB that is compatible with the open subset in this topology YN. And if you're for all N, then it will be compatible with all open subsets of X, and therefore it will be a cycle for KK over X. This means, these are topological spaces, and you have an inverse limit of spaces and so on. And this means that you expect some minimum one sequence to compute the homotopy groups. So you expect if I say expect, I mean in good cases, because there should be some obstructions, like maybe some continuity properties of my bundle of these styles above that might mean that in this particular inverse limit, this lim 1 sequence doesn't apply. So for instance, this is in Wigfield's talk, these fair vibrations, if you knew that all the maps in the system here had the homotopy lifting property, you could draw this conclusion here. If you don't know that, you have to check by hand whether this is actually really whether this limit 1 sequence applies in this context. My guess would be that if X is a Hausdorff space and A and B are both nuclear and continuous fields of these algebras, this should be okay, but I haven't checked it really, so this is something which I would have to do first. So my impression is that you can at least under some assumptions which are reasonable, approximate and compute the KK groups for a general space X in terms of rows for finite spaces X. So the problem should reduce to the finite case, which is of course quite complicated. I think any finite topological space can appear. In this context, you have seen that they are given by a pole set. This is always the case. If you have any finite topological space, you can always describe a partial order on the points so that the open subsets are exactly given by this relation. So this is actually in this way here, by this correspondence, a topology and a partial order on a finite set, they determine each other. Okay, so now the question is, how can you define, can you compute these KK groups? Another question is, what would be the UCT class in this context? That's actually easier. So I should maybe say that this is also work in progress, as much we have heard before in this conference. So I don't yet have the final UCT in this context. I think what it should be, but I haven't proved it yet. And it's actually quite an amazing that if it is true, therefore I'm not so 100% confident about it anymore. So you would like to have a UCT. I can tell you for which class UCT should hold, and this is already something interesting. So what is the bootstrap class? Okay. For this, you should recall I was done for usual C-style algebras. You start with some generators, sort of simple building blocks, and for the usual bootstrap class, you just take the complex numbers. And then you build other things out of that using some operations. And these operations can be kind of formalized in the notion of a so-called localizing subcategory. So you just take extensions, and you could formalize this in the context of abstract homotopy theory using the notion of a triangular category. So this category, so KKX, is a triangulated category. If you don't know what this means, it's not terribly important for the purpose of this talk. It just formalizes that you have some kind of suspension, then you can talk about extensions in some sense. There are so-called extension triangles that generalize the diagonals to get some extensions. So extension triangles would be something like if you have some extension in KKX, so it's or probably an extension of C-style over X is what I mean here, and it also has appropriate completed positive sections, so that you can actually construct a KK element for that in KK1. So then you have some further class that goes from C to the suspension of A, which describes the class of the extension, and these three maps here could be drawn as a triangle, because this A is the same as this one, essentially, up to a dimension shift. And so these are the exact triangles in this context. The suspension here, that's just this shift which appears here. So we have this additional structure, and so the bootstrap category it's supposed to be the smallest class of objects that is closed under various operations like isomorphism, suspension, extensions like this. So the special one, so you have this triangle, so you have some completed positive sections to construct this, and you also have countable direct sums.
Is the category you're talking about G-star events or KK?
I want the category where the morphisms are given by KK elements.
And the elements are
C-star? Yes, the elements are C-star over X, so with the specified ideal, so you can talk about KK. X. Okay. And isomorphism is also in KKX, so KK equivalent things are in there if one of them is in there. So this is the usual thing in the bootstrap category. There are various definitions where you replace maybe extensions by something else, or you take also direct limits of some kind. This is all equivalent. I won't talk about this here. So it's supposed to be the smallest subcategory that is close to the operations and contains some simple building blocks. Contains and what are these simple building blocks supposed to be?
We don't allow cross products
By the integers, that follows, yes.
It follows?
Yes, once you have the operations, it follows that it's closed not cross products by accident of amenable groups, because we know something about Baum-Conn, so this is just well, not quite amenable groups. There are some further conditions, like finite groups, for instance, are not okay. Torsions are amenable, or some conditions. So this is a general, some general yoga. If you can look into my paper in with Richard Nest in topology, where we discuss this a bit. So once you have these minimal conditions, you get various other things for free. Like, for instance, cross products by the integers and by R actions, they come for free once you have these conditions. Okay, and what are the simple building blocks in this context? Recall I had described this operation here where I can push forward something, and I can look at the embedding of points. So I look at a one-point set, and I embed it in my space X, and I look at the corresponding push forward when applied to the complex numbers. So here I have C scattered over a point, which is just C-style algebra, so there is no further structure here to speak of, because it's just a point and there is no interesting open subset and so on. So I have just this thing here, and you can describe it explicitly. So these are supposed to be the building blocks, so where I let X run to all points of my space X. So for each point of X, I have one object here, which together should generate a bootstrap category. Okay. I would describe this thing here a bit more explicitly. This is not so hard, actually. You could look at something like Ix lower star of any C star algebra A. And if you have some subset C that's locally closed, so it's a difference of two opens as somewhere over there, I think, then this is supposed to be A if X is contained in C, and 0 if X is not contained in C. So it's a fairly simple construction. Okay. Okay, why is this big enough? So if you have any, so if A is a C-star algebra over X, then you can pick a maximal point, I think, or a closed point.
What's A
under there? A is some C-star algebra.
Is this class automatically closed under inductive limits, or did you?
This class here, yes. Up to the existence of certain completely positive maps. So if it's neutral, it's okay. This is because we can get an inductive limit. There is an extension. This is a skeletal construction that relates inductive limits to direct sums and extensions, provided there are some sections. You can do it in this category.
You don't want to say that A is used to
see? In this context, this definition applies always. So if A is not UCT, this won't be in my subcategory. This won't be in the bootstrap class. This is just a description of how this looks like. So if you took A equal to C, then this would be the description of this building blocks here. So the simple building blocks are finished here. These are the building blocks. This is something else. Actually, correct it more generally, because I wanted to explain why this is a rather big subcategory. So if you have any C star over X, you can do the following thing. You can pick a closed point. Since X is finite, this exists certainly. And you take something like U, should be X taking away this point. And then you can restrict A to U by just looking at the ideal AU and looking at the corresponding filtration by ideals you have given. So it's something like there's something like A is restricted to U, and you can look at the embedding of U, and so IU is the embedding of U in X, and you can use this to extend it again. What does this do? This will map a set C to A of U affected with C, because it's restricted to U first and then extend it again. And this is certainly an idea in A of U. A of C is what I want here, because if U is open, so this is one of the ideals I have, and this would be a map to A itself, and the quotient here is simply A of C intersected the set with just one point X, and this will be my Ix lower star of A of X. Okay. So the upshot is that you have an extension of C star algebra over X, which involves something that comes from this smaller set U, and something which is one of these Well, not quite simple buildings because there's this a of x in here. So what you find is a little theorem now, which you prove by induction. Now you have this kind of simple step. If you know for some reason that this here gives an extension triangle, so that, for instance, because you have some completely positive sections, and if you also know that all these a of x here for all points are in the bootstrap class, so if a of x in the KK bootstrap class, for all points x and x, and well, the extensions as above, so there's of course more than one extension, there are several, because I do this now with this one for another maximal point in U, and I continue keep growing this construction. I get various extensions that have to have some completely positive sections. For instance, if A is nuclear, this should be okay, because then all these things here are nuclear, and I have my extensions with sections as I wanted. So if this holds, then my A is in the bootstrap category in the KKX bootstrap class. Okay. Oh, this is also blackboard, right? Although I can't move it because I use this one. Okay. Time is running very quickly. Okay. So this tells you how big the bootstrap class actually is. Okay, now you want to go on to a UCT. This is, well, now you have to start with some choices. What you can always do is the following thing. It is not the best thing, as I will explain soon. We have seen these extensions here, and if you bear with this a bit, you can see that any object in A comes with a canonical situation, because you can first chop up all the maximal points, you take all of them at the same time. This will give you a quotient which is, consists of these simple building blocks. And the next step, you chop up the maximal points that are left in the smaller set now. This will give you a filtration of your C-star algebra. And this filtration will generate a spectral sequence. So any over X whose subquotients are there are direct sums of things induced from a point where you have some coefficient algebras here. I think it's really always A of X and not anything else. So these are the top quotients, and this gives you a spectral sequence. Make this obvious, I should also tell you what KK is. So if you look at KKX, and now you look at this IX star, AX, B, this is always isomorphic to a usual KK group. But what you see on the right-hand side is not, is it A of X? I have to check this. Can I find this in my notes? I think this should be B of, maybe I call it UX. This would be the minimal open subset containing X. So you can compute this if you use my point. This is a simple thing, and you find that this is just an RAKK group because there's this very simple structure, and there's some this mini open set sum appears in this computation, I think. So you can compute the KK groups in these for these subquotients explicitly. And so you know what the E2 term spectral sequence is. It has something to do with these KK groups, and then there is also the partial order that gives you morphisms between them, and then we have some complicated setup. This is particularly efficient if you have a case like this example here, which has length 1. So here you have, you see that the longest ordered chains in this context are of length 1, because this space is one-dimensional. If you have something of length 1, then this will actually be an exact sequence, not a spectral sequence, because then the filtration has just length 1. So if the dimension of X, the covering dimension now, is at most 1, this gives you an exact sequence. So in particular, if you want to compute this KKX for a C-style over the interval, I think this should work pretty efficiently. I just haven't checked all details yet, but it shouldn't be hard to do that. The problem is if you have more computer spaces, you never get an exact sequence here because the length of this spectral sequence will be exactly the length of this partial order you have. So you have to do something more sophisticated. In this case, what I mean actually by dimension is I have a finite set, a closed set, and in this case the dimension is length of the longest chain. So here the dimension of X is the maximal length. So we have something like x0 less than x1 up to xd, where d is the dimension. And if you come from these coverings here, if you construct the space y at here, then this d would be exactly the dimension of the covering, I think. Another question?
When you construct y, if we are always at some kind of correspond to any point net, like that's kind of in your example, these two are at the whole.
0, 1, 2. 0, 1, 2 doesn't appear because in the section of U0, U1, and U2 is empty.
Yeah.
So this is so the space Y is actually, you could take a smaller set. Yes, actually I should have taken Y smaller than that. Actually, you're right. Yes, I should have taken Y optimal here. I could take this one, of course, but it's stupid. So I could take a smaller Y which has fewer points because I see that some points don't appear actually. Correct.
So dimension less than 1, does that mean direct sums of things that are covered by the
Bonkers? Yes, exactly. So in this case, you get UCT is actually, I think it's different than Bonkers a bit, but not too much. So in that case, you can do many things that are quite equivalent. I think my time is almost up. So let me just finish with the what I think should be the solution about this. If you look at this construction, you see that you have only used these restrictions to points A of X. Of course, we have lots of other of these locally closed subsets. So you, in your invariant, would like to use the K-theories of A of C for all C in X that are locally closed, so of this form that you can define this. And you would like to use this as your invariant, but then you have to specify in what category it lives. So in what category does this live? So there's some general machinery for studying these questions. What you do is you represent this functor by an object. So you find some RC so that the K-theory of A at C is just KKX of RC, A. And then you find that KK star X RD, RC will act, is it this way around? Oh, well. Irrespective of the order here, that's AC first or AB here, so anyway, this will act on these groups, and you find that this is actually the state of all natural informations on these invariants. So you have to compute these groups here and get a certain graded category, because you have lots of objects here and you have various morphisms within them. And then you have to study this graded category in its modules. And the hope is that this category has, in some sense, dimension 1, in the sense that at least the objects that are of this form for some C star double over XA should have resolutions of length 1. I checked this in many examples, but not in all of them, so I have no general proof why this should always be so. And it's actually quite amazing, because when you look at these objects, they can be pretty complicated, and they do involve the nerve of the pole set that appears here. So if you look at this part of sets, you can construct some cell complex out of that. And these cell complexes can be quite arbitrary, so I think any finite simplicial complex can appear at the homotopy. So in principle, it could be a sphere or something with torsion and K-theory and so on. So that these groups also involve some torsion things, so many things can happen there. And so it's not so clear how you can organize this computation. Even if you could prove that this has length 1, it would be hard to do the computation, I fear. If this would work, then you would get a UCT as we are used to it with an exact sequence. So that this would be really an invariant, and Gunnar Restorff has done some computation for Kunz-Krieger algebra that confirmed that this would be so. But the general case is still open, unfortunately. I hope to finish this at some point together with Richard Nest. Okay. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you very much to Grant for a very thought-provoking talk.
You have an inverse limit of spaces, and
can you say what the inverse limit is? It covers exactly the primitive ideal spaces of the AF algebra, nothing
else. Well, let's discuss this later, I think. So you have some inverse limit of spaces, Yn, and you want to take something like maybe pi zero of this space. And this is given by an expired Lim 1 sequence, in good cases. So there's some map, obviously, to the inverse limit of the pi zeros of the Yn's. And in good cases, that is surjective. And there's a kernel, which is the inverse limit derived of the pi 1's of these spaces Yn. This doesn't always hold. The spaces Yn must be suitable. You need some kind of homotopy properties for this to work.
But KK,
yes, KK is defined as some space modular homotopy. So it's homotopy classes of some set. So KK is defined as a pi zero group of some space of cycles. So KK is defined as pi zero of the space of KK cycles for my purposes here. And the space of, of cycles for KK satisfy, they form inverse limit.
Gunnar had a question.
So, the simplest example would be to take two non-trivial ideals, one inside the other. Do you have a UCT for that?
You mean a space is 2 points? So you have one ideal and some.
No.
Well, two
the ideal less is zero, and then I have a larger ideal, and then the algebra.
So for these very small examples, like if you have less than 4 points, say, so if you have something like this pole set here, or also this one, in these cases I have results, yes. So I check various small examples, and it works for them. If you now build more complicated things like a sphere with some triangulation, that's harder. That needs maybe some 11 points or so, then it gets hard to do computations because you have to look at this in them, you have to look at all of these locally closed subsets, and if you have 11 points, you can imagine that there are lots of subsets you can build, and it gets very confusing what you have to do about them.
So you have a spectral sequence, or you have a spectral sequence?
You always have a spectral sequence. That comes for free with the approach I have. The issue is that it is an exact sequence or a spectral sequence. This requires you to check whether the length of the solution is one or longer, and that's the difficult bit.
So I have a comment that relates to your title, because you talk about computing the KK groups, but even in this case, the KK group, the short exact sequence doesn't split, so you won't be able to compute the KK groups.
So if it doesn't split, yeah.
But a point is that doesn't matter if you want to classify.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you compute the
other comments?
People
have you happy
now? I wanted only to say something of principle nature. So you have this embedding, it's in fact an embedding, it's a topological package. You have an embedding of this space in this projective layer, but it's never closed, almost never closed. Yes? Except it itself a projective layer in this case. Yes? And this projective limit describes exactly this sort of projective limits. What you have from finite to zero spaces. This describes exactly the primitive ideal spaces of unique Taylor projective. Nothing else. Yes? So there is nothing limited. Now to your functor. Your functor is more or less that you describe or try to describe my functor anyway. You try to describe this KK with help going down to this KK on something on this finite systems, or finite zero spaces. And then, but what you then do, you work with a functorial construction on the spaces to this sort of case here. And this shows you, if you pass on to the limit, you can only rediscover the KK for the projective limit, nothing else. And this cannot rediscover my theory, because my theory rediscovers also the primitive ideal space. So there is something missing.
The ideal space is always in there, so I think that it suffices to look at the basis for topology in these constructions.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We should discuss this, I suppose, in the break. Mm-hmm.
So, thanks, Ralf, once again.